All right, praise the Lord. Psalm 34 is where we're at again tonight. We started a series last week called Trust, Fear, and Seek. And it's from this passage right here, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So in this passage here, there's three powerful statements that are made and three essential elements of our relationship with the Lord. And the first one is trust. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Yeah. So if we'll put our trust in Him, if we'll trust the Lord, and we talked last week extensively about what it means to trust in the Lord. We're going to touch on it tonight. But if we'll put our trust in Him, we're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 9, he says, fear the Lord, you His saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. So that's another good thing. If we'll fear the Lord, if we'll incorporate the fear of the Lord into our life, then he says we'll have no want.
Amen.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So if we'll seek Him, we'll not lack any good thing. So we're blessed if we trust Him. There's no want if we fear Him, and we'll not lack any good thing if we seek Him.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now, we talked about the first one last week, and we know a little bit about the last one, seeking the Lord, but very little about the middle one, which is the fear of the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that some tonight, but let's just a little bit of review on trust and what that means. Trusting in the Lord. Trust is like faith, but yet it's more passive. The woman with the issue of blood, she moved in faith. The Bible says she said, she heard about Jesus, and she said, and she came, and she touched. And she was made whole. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. So she was very active in her faith. And she came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. So that was an active faith. Trust is more passive. Trust is standing on God's promise and resting in what God has said when you don't know what to do. When you know what you could do, would it make a difference? The situation is so overwhelming that what you could do and your ability wouldn't make a difference anyway. So in that situation, all you can do is trust the Lord. We read about Jehoshaphat last week when the enemy armies came against the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, we don't have any power to stand against this great multitude, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon You.
Yes,
what was he doing? He was making a declaration of trust.
Amen.
He was saying, Lord, we don't know what to do, and we don't have the power to overcome this enemy, but our eyes are on You. You may be in a situation like that where you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, and this seems overwhelming, but say this, say, my eyes are on You. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're in that situation. Amen. That's trust. That's a statement of trust. Praise God. Trust is casting our cares over on the Lord. We're trusting Him to work out the situation. We're trusting Him to provide. We're trusting Him to guide us. Praise God. Here's a good scripture about that. Proverbs 3, verse 5 that you're familiar with. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. If I'm leaning on my own understanding, then I'm not trusting in the Lord with all my heart. If I'm in my own understanding, trying to figure it all out and trying to manipulate it and work it and make it happen, I'm not trusting in the Lord with all my heart. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what it means to trust in the Lord, to acknowledge Him in all your ways.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And then we get into this next element here. In verse 7, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we see not only in Psalm 34 in our main text, but here in Proverbs as well, we see that fear of the Lord goes right along with trusting the Lord. They go hand in hand.
Yes.
They follow one another. All right. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's one thing that as we look at the definition of what it means to fear the Lord, that's one of them right there. Depart from evil. To fear the Lord means to depart from evil. If we're letting evil hang around in our lives, it means that we're lacking in the fear of the Lord. It means that we really don't have the fear of the Lord in our life if we're entertaining and accommodating evil in any form in our lives. Amen? All right. So look at the benefit of that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Praise God. So the fear of the Lord affects our health and our healing. Amen. And then he says in verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. So he says back in verse 7 there, I think it is, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't ever say, yes, I know the Bible says that, but. That's being wise in your own eyes. That's you saying, yeah, I know better than God about this situation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, you might not voice that, but we've all done that. We've all done that by our actions and by our mindset and by our attitude. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. A lack of the fear of the Lord causes us to think that we know better than God how to run our lives. That's a symptom. When we do that, that's a symptom of not having the fear of the Lord in our lives. Amen. The fear of the Lord motivates us to always put the Word of God first. The fear of the Lord motivates us to always ask, what does the Word say about each and every situation that we face? Not what I want, not what I want to do, not what I think I ought to do, not what I feel like doing. What does the Word say? How should I respond? How should I deal with this based on what the Word says? When we put the Word first, when we let that be our determining factor, that's walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And fear and honor are closely related. Really, to fear the Lord means to honor the Lord. When we say, put the Word first, what are we doing? We're honoring the Word of God above our own opinion, right? Amen? And so fear and honor are closely related. And he talks about honor here in verse 9. After he talks about fear, the fear of the Lord, then he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. All right? That's operating when we tithe and when we give, we're operating in the fear of the Lord to do that. Amen? Praise God. And then, so let's go back then and look at again Psalm 34, verse 9. He says, O fear of the Lord, you His saints, there is no want to those who fear Him. And that's basically what he says in back in Proverbs 3, 9, where he says, honor the Lord with our possessions. And if we'll do that, he says, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. You won't have lack. You'll have abundance. Amen? You'll not have any want. That's what he says. There's no want to those who fear him. Amen. So what is the fear of the Lord? Let's continue to define it here this evening. And I'm so glad that we are asking that question, because we've got a ready-made answer for us. Look at what he says. In Psalm 34, verse 11, verses 8 through 10 was our text. But look at what he says in verse 11. He says, come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Amen. How about that? So he says, I'll give you the definition right here. Amen. I'll tell you what it means to fear the Lord right here. So he gives us another good definition of the fear of the Lord. Verse 12, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? How many of you like being alive?
Yes.
How many of you want to see many days?
Yes.
And you want to see good days?
Yes. Amen.
All right. That's all of us. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's That's the fear of the Lord in operation. Amen. When we have the fear of the Lord in our lives, we're going to allow that to motivate and to monitor and to govern what comes out of our mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. If we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we're going to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going to do this in verse 14. We're going to depart from evil, like we said earlier, you know, fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. All right. Depart from evil and do good. All of that is motivated by the fear of the Lord. Keeping our tongue from evil, keeping our lips from speaking deceit, departing from evil, doing good, all of that is motivated by the fear of the Lord. And then he says, seek peace and pursue it. There's another thing that is in our lives. If we have the fear of the Lord in our lives, we're going to be seeking peace and pursuing it. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's go a little further here. In Proverbs 1 and verse 28. Proverbs 1, verse 28, he says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. It's talking about the wisdom of God. It's not talking about God himself. And I want to distinguish that. You know, God is so merciful that even when we have run from him and we've ignored him and we get into a bind and we get into trouble and we turn to him and we repent, you know, he'll hear us and he'll answer. But this specifically is talking about the wisdom of God. And if you continually reject the wisdom of God, when you need it, it's not just going to instantly appear. The wisdom of God is something that we have to acquire and accumulate. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what he's talking about here. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice that. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. So because they didn't choose the fear of the Lord, then it says they wouldn't have God's counsel. They wouldn't have the counsel of the wisdom of God. They rejected that counsel. Why? Because they didn't have the fear of the Lord in their lives.
Right, right.
But if we have the fear of the Lord in our lives, that means we're going to receive God's counsel.
Yes,
that means we're going to live our lives by His counsel and by what His Word says.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to accept His counsel. And it says, and they despised my every rebuke. Do you know a lot of the Word of God is correction for us, isn't it? In fact, it says that, and that won't be on the screen, but I just want to read what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction or discipline in righteousness. Well, at least two of those talk about reproof as another way of rebuke or correction, isn't it? And so the Word of God is given to correct us. But here he says, if we don't have the fear of the Lord in our life, then we won't receive that counsel, and we'll despise those rebukes instead of letting the Word of God correct us. Amen. We'll say, wow, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe the pastor said that. I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that. Or you read something in the Bible and you say, well, that's not for me, or that doesn't apply to me today, or that, you know, times have changed. No, that's despising God's rebuke. And that's what we'll do if we don't have the fear of the Lord. But if we have the fear of the Lord, when we're rebuked and corrected by the Word of God, we change. When the Word of God comes and corrects us, we say, oh, you know, I need to line my life up with the Word. I need to line my life up with what God says. Amen. So the fear of the Lord receives and welcomes God's counsel and hearkens to His rebukes and to His correction. Amen. Let's look at some more scriptures about the fear of the Lord here. In Proverbs 2, verse 1, he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. And he tells them some other things in verses 2, 3, and 4. But then he gets to this in verse 5. If you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How am I going to understand the fear of the Lord? If I receive His words and if I treasure His commands within me. If I treasure God's commands, if I receive His words, then I'll find the fear of the Lord. And I'll understand the fear of the Lord and I'll find the knowledge of God. Then we go to Proverbs 8 and verse 13. He says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, there's some things that it's right to hate. We're not to hate other people. But you know, that's the thing here. You know, they've labeled, if you stand for the Bible, if you stand for the Word of God, in some quarters they call that hate speech. Do you realize that? They call it, oh, we don't want any hate around here. Well, we want the right kind of hate around here. We want to hate evil. Come on. Amen. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. He said earlier there in Psalms, he says that we're to depart from evil. And in Proverbs 3, to fear the Lord is to depart from evil. Right? Amen. Well, you're not going to depart from evil if you don't hate evil. If you think it's all right to have a little bit of evil in your life, then you're not going to depart from evil. Amen. We have to have a hatred of evil. Amen. And in the New Testament, it talks about that too. In the book of Romans, it says, love what's good, cling to what's good. And in Romans 13, cling to what is good and hate what's evil. Amen. I did a message a couple years back, when is it all right to hate? Amen. And there are times where it is. Amen. Again, we're not talking about hating people, you know, but we are talking about hating evil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And not just being complacent about it, not just saying, oh, well, let's just let anything go. No. Oh, Jesus loves everybody and everything. Well, He loves everybody, but He sure didn't love everything.
Right.
Jesus rebuked evil.
Yes, He did.
Jesus rebuked hypocrisy.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And here's some of the evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate is what the Lord says. All right. Well, we should hate it too if the Lord hates it. Amen. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, there you go. If we want the starting place, you know, they're finally playing baseball now. I'm glad. Amen. And the Braves got a really great night before last. You see that? Night before last, the Braves are behind, what was the score? 6-3. Three. I think it's three. They got 2-2 run homers. So they were down 6-3. I shouldn't have asked you if I knew. They were down 6-3 going to the bottom of the ninth. And they get a man on base. And then Adam Duvall steps up and hits a home run. All of a sudden, it's 6-5. Then we get another runner on base. And Dansby Swanson comes up, and he hits a home run and wins the game, 7-6. So why did I say all of that? It's baseball season. And when you're running the bases in baseball, you can't start out at second or third. Now when I've coached little guys, when my kids were little, we'd coach. Sometimes I'd coach and help coach. Sometimes they'd hit the ball, and they'd take off to third base. Wait a minute, wait, you got to go this way. Go to first base. Or sometimes they'd shoot right out to second base. Yeah, that's all right when you're four, but they won't let you when you're 22 and in the pros. They won't let you do that. You got to go to first base first. If we want the wisdom of God, here's what I was talking about. If we want the wisdom of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's first base. If you want wisdom, if you want to get around the bases and have the wisdom of God, you got to touch the fear of the Lord first. You got to touch first base first. The fear of the Lord opens up our lives and our hearts for wisdom. Praise God. Praise God. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Praise God. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So that's another benefit from the fear of the Lord. It will prolong our days. It will give us long life. Look at Fred back there. Praise God. He just keeps rolling right along. Beat cancer. Amen. Just recently. Hallelujah. I'm going to be like him when I grow up. Except maybe I'll keep a little more of my hair. Hallelujah. But he keeps rolling right along and loves the Lord and serves the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Verse 26 of Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. Woo! That's good, isn't it? In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Now, the word His, or His is capitalized here, meaning that His, talking about God, God's children will have a place of refuge. And I think that's accurate, but it could mean that the children of the person who fears the Lord will have a place of refuge. I read it like that as well. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Hallelujah. And then he says in 27, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. You see, the fear of the Lord is a safeguard. It's a safeguard for us. It'll keep us from making wrong decisions and bad decisions that'll get us into really bad messes and even death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. You think about it. You think about people, you know, that don't have the fear of the Lord. Maybe it's someone that you know and they don't have the fear of the Lord. And you think about the destructive behavior that some people engage in. And the fear of the Lord is not there as a safeguard to keep them from engaging in that destructive behavior. That behavior that could bring death to them, that could destroy their lives. The fear of the Lord is a safeguard. It turns us away from the snares of death. And then Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord. Those are two things that ought to go together in our lives. Amen. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Amen. Well, look at what that brings. Yeah. Riches and honor and life. Wow, think about that. Look at that. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Proverbs 23, verse 17, he says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. You know, sometimes Psalm 73 is we're not going to look at that tonight, but it's a perfect example of someone who began to let his heart envy sinners. He began to look at his neighbor who didn't go to church and who cussed and didn't live for God and just, you know, partied and all this, and how he seemed to prosper, and while the Christian over here, he's struggling and he's trying to live for God, and it seems like, you know, he just can't get ahead and things, you know. And he says, I can't believe this guy. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't honor God. He's out there cussing in his yard. He's, you know, he throws these parties and they all get drunk over there. And yet, look, he's got a new boat in his driveway. You know, he's you know, seems to be healthy. He's got a good business. His business is prospering. Here I am. I'm struggling. You know, sometimes we have situations like that, and if we aren't careful, we can begin to envy the wicked. Amen. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Don't do that. Don't let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Why? For surely there is a hereafter. And your hope will not be cut off. See, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, then we know we're not just living for here. Yes. Right. We're not just living for this earth. Right. Amen? Amen? We're living for eternity. Yes. We're living with eternity in view. Now, God wants to bless us and help us here, but we have an eternal mindset. That's why said in Colossians, he said, if then you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what we're to live by as believers. He says, don't let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous. Go back to 17, Mike, if you would. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Be zealous for it. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Why? Because there's a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. See, so the fear of the Lord, you might want to write this down, the fear of the Lord enables me to keep an eternal and spiritual perspective.
Yes, amen.
The fear of the Lord enables me to keep an eternal and a spiritual perspective. Amen. See, this is what motivated Moses. Let's go to Hebrews 11. And we'll look at something about Moses here. In Hebrews 11, 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know how Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and basically, and she raised him. Actually, Moses' mother was hired and was paid to raise her own son.
Amen.
Pretty good deal there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And but she raised him. She raised Moses in Pharaoh's household, and eventually he began to, you know, he began to understand and benefit from all the privileges of royalty,
right,
all the privileges of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Right.
But there came a time, it says, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. See, if he renounced that, if he walked away from that, it was not only not, he wasn't just walking away from the privilege and the benefits. He knew there was going to be suffering and persecution. But he chose that, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin.
Right.
Moses had the foresight and the understanding because of the fear of the Lord to realize and understand that the pleasures of sin were passing,
right, exactly,
fleeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's comfortable, it's nice, it's enjoyable now, but it's fleeting.
Right.
It's temporary.
Exactly, yes.
All right. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
In other words, he was able to see from an eternal and spiritual perspective.
Amen.
Because he was operating in the fear of the Lord.
Right.
And again, I didn't think about it until just now, but you think about Joseph. And you think about what, you know, Joseph was the first of one of the Israelites to end up down in Egypt, not by his own choice, right? He was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ended up as a servant to a man named Potiphar. All right? And remember how Potiphar's wife came and enticed him and said, lie with me. And he said, my master, your husband, has put me in charge of all of his house, and he's withheld nothing from me except for you. And he said, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
That's right. Right.
Not against Pharaoh, but against God.
Right.
Why? Because something was motivating him that was higher than just allegiance to Potiphar. It was the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
And that kept him from that sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
He was accused of it anyway. Ended up going to prison anyway. But then God worked and got him out and put him second in command in the nation of Egypt.
Amen.
But Moses was motivated by the fear of the Lord. He was able to see the eternal and spiritual perspective. And it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches.
Glory.
Greater riches,
yes,
than the treasures. And we need to be able to see that in our lives.
Yes,
we need to be able to see our what we have in God and what we have with his calling on our lives and his plan for our lives and pursuing that. We need to see that as greater. And we need to be able to esteem that as greater riches than all the treasures in this world, what we could have in this world. Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And so Moses was able to do that. It says, for he looked to the reward. He saw the eternal perspective. And then verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. He left it all behind. All the privilege, all the benefits. He forsook Egypt, not fearing. Notice this, here's fear, but not fearing. Not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord will keep us from fearing man. If we have the fear of the Lord in our lives, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, it means we won't fear man. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They had the fear of the Lord operating in their lives. When Nebuchadnezzar set up that monument, you know, out in the on the plain of Dura, and that image of himself, and he had the band come out there, and he assembled all the people to come out. And the music played, and he said, now, here's the deal. When you hear the music playing, then everybody bow down, right? And so the music struck up, and everybody bowed down, except three men were standing there, sticking out like sore thumbs, because everybody else was bowed down. And that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because they had the fear of the Lord. And they did not fear what Nebuchadnezzar said or what Nebuchadnezzar could do. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar apprehended them, arrested them, and threatened to throw them in the fiery furnace. He said, now, he gave him another chance. He said, because he liked them. God had given them favor with him. And he said, boys, he said, here's the deal. He said, now, look, he said, I'm willing to forget that little episode that happened out there on the plane. You know, I'm going to give you another chance. Now, if you want to bow down here, fine, we'll forget all that ever happened and we can go right on and everything would be just fine. But I got to warn you, if not, if you don't bow down, then I'm going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace. And they said, oh, king, we don't need to be careful to answer you in this matter. You know, we don't have to think about it. Our mind is already made up. See, if we're living in the fear of the Lord, there's some things we won't even have to think about. It'll be automatic. My mind's already made up about that. I don't have to ponder. I don't have to pray. See, that's what got Balaam in trouble. You know, Balaam, you know, the king came and asked Balaam to curse the Israelites. And he immediately knew he wasn't supposed to. But then they said, well, here's a lot of money. And he said, well, let me pray about it. There, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, there'll be a lot of things we won't even need to pray about. We'll automatically know. That ain't right. This is right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so they just said, king, we don't need to pray about this. We know what we need to do. And if you think you need to throw us in the fiery furnace, that's up to you. But we know we trust our God. And whether you don't throw us in, we're not going to bow down. And if you do throw us in, our God's able to deliver us.
Yes. Amen.
And he did.
Yeah, he did.
And he did. Amen. See, they were standing strong. They didn't fear Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't fear what he could do because they were operating in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will keep us from fearing man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king. Why? He endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Yes.
Amen. He was able to see from the eternal perspective because he had the fear of the Lord in his life.
Amen.
Amen. All right, one last verse here, and then I'm going to let you go. It's probably dark out there, but I did my best. Again, I didn't know it was going to be stormy and rainy. So you're on your own. All right. If you need help getting home, see David. He'll get you home. All right. Acts 9:31. All right. Fred, you didn't ride your bike tonight. Okay. All right. Okay. Acts 9, verse 31. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I love this scripture. It's a great commentary on the church, on the different churches, the assemblies of believers here in the early days of the church, here in the book of Acts. It said the churches in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, that's all part of Israel, modern-day Israel now, the church is there because that's the only place the gospel had gone. It hadn't gone to the Gentile world yet. But the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And it says they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Now, the Message Bible is very interesting, and it gives us a really good, clear picture of what the fear of the Lord means and what it really is. And we'll close with this. Things calmed down after that, and the church had smooth sailing for a while. This was the reason it's talking about that. It's right after the persecution. This is right after Saul's salvation. Chapter 8 talks about at the end of, is it the end of chapter 8 that talks about Stephen or 7? Acts 7, I think, is the stoning of Stephen, and he was the first martyr. And then Acts 8 is Philip and Samaria and Peter and John. And then we get to Acts 9, and that's Saul's conversion. And so at the end of that chapter, so Saul is the great persecutor of the church. He's been converted now. He's saved. And it says things calmed down after that, and the church had smooth sailing for a while. All over the country, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, the church grew. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. That's what it means. That's how the Message translates walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord, another way to say it is that we're permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. That's what Dad Hagin lamented. That's what the Lord talked to him about to try to stress to the church in his last days. In the last 10 years or so, or actually, was it 1993, I think, that the Lord appeared to him before camp meeting that year and talked to him. He said, Christians know a little bit about praising me, but they know very little about worshiping me. And he said, there's no reverence. He said, back in the early days of the Pentecostal movement, he said, we knew something about reverence for the Holy Spirit and reverence for the Lord. And he said, we've lost that. We've got to get back to that. We've got to get back to a deep sense of reverence for God. That's the fear of the Lord. Now, please don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean, sometimes people misunderstand that, oh, that means I got to have a long face and a sour look. That means I'm reverent. No, not at all. It means that I like what one of my instructors at Rhema, here's the way he defined the fear of the Lord. He said, the fear of the Lord is a wholesome dread of displeasing Him. You can have an unwholesome and an unhealthy fear of the Lord, and that's not right. Just, oh, no, I'm afraid if I move, I just got to stay stiff. If I move, God's going to get me. No. He wants us to live in liberty and freedom and joy. Amen. Hallelujah. But it is. But we live with a deep sense of reverence for God. We respect the things of God. We respect the Word of God. Amen. We desire to be in His presence. We desire to obey Him when He speaks to us. We want to do what He tells us. When He corrects us, we want to put those things away in our lives. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's what it means. Hallelujah. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. The Holy Spirit was with them. Let's get the rest of that verse up there. Strengthening them. And they prospered wonderfully. Tabitha. Tabitha is the next thing that they're going to talk about. And That's the heading for the next section about Tabitha, and somehow it makes it in there in the Message translation. So, hallelujah! They prospered wonderfully. The Holy Spirit was with them, strengthening them, and they prospered wonderfully. If we'll have a deep sense of reverence for God, if we'll have the fear of the Lord in our lives, we'll prosper wonderfully. There is no want to those who fear Him. There's no want to those who fear Him. Let's pray tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Father, we desire the fear of the Lord. We choose. Lord, Your Word says there in Proverbs, because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Well, we say tonight, we choose the fear of the Lord. We choose to put away evil. To fear the Lord is to depart from evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And Lord, we choose the fear of the Lord. We choose to reverence You, to respect you, to honor you, to fear the Lord, to fear you. Lord means to put your word first place. It means to reverence your word. It means to order our lives based on not what we feel like doing, not what we want to do, but what your word says. And we'll govern our lives and order our lives by that. We thank you for helping us. We thank you for your mercy over us. In the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for good things ahead for each one of us. I thank you, Father God. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. There's no want to those who fear you. And those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Hallelujah. We receive all of these benefits. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, lengthens our days. Hallelujah. We thank you. We receive all these benefits and blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen.